magnificent noise heralded a new chapter of British motorsport when, in September 1963, Dean Moon and Mickey Thompson showed to the British public the first two American dragsters to appear in England. The first engine to start was the 7-litre supercharged V8 Ford in Thompson's Harvey Aluminium Special, running on nitromethane fuel. The second, quite different sound, was the 6-litre supercharged Chevrolet petrol-burning motor in Dean Moon's famous dragster Moon Eyes, driven by Dante Juice from Las Vegas. Exactly 1 year later, in September 1964, the British Drag Racing Association held the first British International Drag Festival. The festival embraced 6 major events over a period of 2 weeks, and whilst the 120,000 spectators came primarily to see the American drag racing machines built by the US drag racing team, they were able to see all types of competition cars and motorcycles in action. Firstly, the bikes, which for many years having concentrated in this country on sprinting purely against the clock, now find themselves racing one against the other in pairs over the standing quarter mile. Typical of the up to 500cc class were the BSA and AJS specials of Dennis Jenkinson and Dave LeCocq. Totally different approaches to the problems of covering the 440 yards in the shortest possible time were to be found in the 500 and 750cc classes. Firstly, Bill Bragg on his Blue Peril with a supercharged 650 Triumph Bonneville engine running on methanol and using 4 gears. The Hagen Triumph of Pete Smith has a similar engine, but running unsupercharged, and the ultralight construction of the machine allows the use of 2 gears only, the most successful recipe leading to Smith taking second place overall in the final placing. In the biggest motorcycle class, 750 to 1500cc, were several machines using the big V-twin Vincent engine, a typical example being Ian Ashwell's supercharged Satan. Drag racing team included 2 American motorcyclists, Don Hyland and Bill Wood, who had brought their machines to take on the best of the British bikes. Hyland's monstrous device consisted of 2 650 Triumph twin engines in tandem, stuffed into a 6-foot wheelbase machine which its creator had christened the Parasite. For all its complexity, Hyland made many runs in the middle 11 second zone. Harley-Davidson of Bill Woods was of a more traditional layout, and the big V-twin machine with solid rear suspension makes an impressive sound, with the rider's gear changes making interesting comparison with the English rider's technique. Drag racing lends itself to any type of motorcycle or car, and the festival crowds were able to see a particularly fascinating cross-section of cars fielded by the British competitors. This sound evoked vivid memories among the vintage-minded spectators. Dudley Gagan's pre-war 1.5-litre ERA single-seater racing car, an example of one of the most successful British machines ever built, and almost drowned the fine exhaust note of Eckersley's vintage Type 37 Bugatti, both cars leaving the heady scent of castor oil on the drag festival air. Gagan returned an ET of 14.86 seconds, no mean performance for a car some 30 years old. Another famous single-seater car carried the name of Sidney Allard, the man who built Britain's first dragster and who has been a prime mover in the establishment of drag racing in England. The car, powered by a German air-cooled V8 engine, carried its creator to the British Hill Climb Championship in 1949. Now in the hands of its new owner, Dave Hooper, the restored Stair Allard sounds no more noisy today as it did on the British hills back in the late 40s. Welsh enthusiast Ken Wilson is as familiar on the British hills of the 60s as was Sidney Allard in the 40s. And he had brought his Lister Jaguar sports racing car and 2.5-litre Grand Prix BRM to the festival. For all the apparent clutch slip in this run in the BRM, Wilson only took 12.29 seconds to cover the quarter mile and went on to take third place overall in the final placings of the British car competitors. The typical V8 engine note heralds a run by Dick Soanes in his 3.5-litre Cooper Buick single-seater racing car, competing against Chris Lawrence's interesting Twinny Mini, a four-wheel drive miniature single-seater racing car with a complete Mini Cooper engine and gearbox at each end. Soanes won that race in 12.91 seconds at 108 miles per hour. And so to the British dragsters. It was all too apparent in the drag festival that for a while at least, the Americans with their 12 years of experience will not surprisingly show the British cars a clean pair of wheels in the big capacity dragster classes. One of the first British cars to be built to the American pattern in this country was Alan Herridge's supercharged straight 8 Buick powered machine. The car is here heard running with the Hill's Jaguar-powered dragster, which is setting a trend for low-budget machines in Britain, where the 3.4-litre Jaguar engine is in plentiful supply. Herridge's Buick dragster turned a 13.48 ET against Hill's 14.65. Impressive times for cars costing under £200. Now, whilst the big American dragsters may well hold superiority for some little time to come, many years of experience in obtaining power from small four-cylinder engines has resulted in lightweight British dragsters which go very quickly indeed. Most consistently successful of these have been the blown 1.5-litre Ford Cortina-powered cars of Tony Densham and the commercially produced Allard Dragon. Alan Allard and Dennis Jenkinson drove two dragons in a run which took Allard, the winner, a mere 11.32 seconds, with an extraordinary terminal speed of 129 miles per hour. Because of the ready availability of large V8 engines in the United States, few small American dragsters similar to the Dragons have so far been built. One such car, however, did come with the US team to England. Built by Californian Doug Church, the beautifully engineered car carried a German 2-litre Porsche engine behind the driver. the typical note of the unblown flat four-cylinder engine reacting to the solid rear suspension and rather uneven surface of Blackbush Airport. This tremendous sound gave the festival spectators their first view of the big Americans. These were the two great factory experimental Dodge and Mercury Comet saloons of Dave Strickler and Ronnie Sox. The roar of the two 500 bhp unsilenced engines gives us little chance to enjoy the superb manual gear changing of the drivers. And so here is a solo run by Dave Strickler in the Dodge as he hurls well over a ton of metal over the standing quarter mile in 11.54 seconds at 126 miles per hour. The American team leader was none other than Dante Deuce, who drove Moon Eyes during the first British tour in 1963. Deuce, or Deuce as we came to know him, had brought Dean Moon's modified sports car Moonbeam, not only to run in the festival, but also to compete in the famous Brighton Speed Trials, which took place the weekend before. The comparatively innocent-looking car was powered by the same blown Chevrolet motor which had pushed the Moon Eyes dragster to 166 miles per hour at Silverstone 12 months before. Now the 600 bhp power unit had been mated to an automatic transmission, which gave Deuce the coveted fastest time of day at Brighton and many rides in the lower 11s at over 140 in the festival. Fantastic was perhaps the only word which could describe the drag racing hybrids known in the States as gas coupes of George Montgomery and K.S. Pittman. These cars started life in the early 1930s as modest Willys fixed-head coupes, now much lightened and modified and powered by big 700 brake horsepower supercharged V8 engines with automatic transmission. These cars delighted the crowds, being colorful, noisy, and very, very fast. Here is George Montgomery's 6-liter Chevy-powered version, known as the world's wildest Willys, as it raises itself on its springs and bounces hysterically off down the uneven Blackbush tarmac to record a fantastic 10.75, 144 mile per hour quarter mile, before pulling up with the aid of a braking parachute. And so to the first of the big American dragsters. But before we hear them run, Sidney Allard asked Californian Tommy Ivo, TV actor and one of the most successful American dragster drivers, about the technique of driving these incredible machines, some of which accelerate from a standstill to 100 miles an hour in under 3 seconds.
Tommy, what are the main features of these cars? Is it sort of all-out weight on the rear or what?
Well, I think one of the most astounding things is the horsepower that's put out. The engine's put out well over 1,000 horsepower. The engine is moved toward the rear of the car, so to get as much weight on the rear wheels as possible.
Yes.
And they do accelerate at their best from 0 to 200 miles an hour in a quarter of a mile. These tires right here, they're very, very large, and they'll wear out in about 6 runs. It just tears the rubber off of them. The car goes into so heavy a smoke that sometimes you can't see where you're going.
One of the points, you drive solely on one gear and use the tires as a form of fluid flywheel. What I can't understand is why you sort of don't stand on the starting line still with all this terrific spin.
Well, that's one of the tricks of driving these cars, is to see that you can look out to the side and see your smoke pattern and see that you don't have the tires boiling too hard. Sometimes you'll get excited and do it and then lose the race because of it. Yes. Another interesting feature is the parachute. When we go to stop the car again, that's another problem. So we put out a parachute like they use on aircraft for landing jet aircraft on short landing strips.
Yes.
Another thing, too, that I might point out is these cars, when they start out, they'll start out so fast that they'll actually pull the front wheels off the ground and run along on the rear wheels.
What do? Is the art to bring it down, or do you still carry on like that?
Well, it depends on how high it goes. Sometimes if they just hang there in midair, that's just exactly perfect. Then you've got all the weight on the rear wheels so that you can move forward as fast as possible. If they keep going out naturally, you'll have to throttle back onto it to get them back down.
And you don't really rely much on steering, then?
No, you don't. Catch the steering as it's on the ground. It'll bounce down every once in a while, and you'll point it in a new direction.
That was the first exploratory run by the popular Bob Keith in the Dos Palmas AA gas dragster. This title denotes that the car is supercharged and runs on petrol in the biggest dragster class. The power unit is a similar 6-liter Chevrolet engine to those used in the gas coupes and Moonbeam, and like these cars and all big dragsters, stops with the aid of a parachute. Keith's many crowd-pleasing runs were mostly in the order of 9 seconds, with terminal speeds close to 170 mph. Technically, the most interesting American car to European eyes was the AA gas dragster called the Wedge. Built and driven by 36-year-old Tony Nancy from Sherman Oaks, California, the car featured a blown 8-liter Plymouth engine behind the driver, who was thus able to see where he was going, unlike the driver of conventional blown dragsters. Tony Nancy's first run on English soil was marred by a severe snaking caused by water from the engine escaping onto the rear tire. The Wedge's teething troubles were not surprising, as the car had not run at all before coming to England. The prototype had caused something of a stir at an American drag strip some 8 weeks before the festival by going through the terminal lights at 186 miles per hour upside down. But Tony builds strong cars, and he stepped unharmed from the wreckage to start building a new car for the English tour. Now he tries the Mark II Wedge again at Blackpool. Well, after all, it is a new car, and he tries again, only to have another nasty moment as the engine coolant escapes to lubricate the spinning tire.